This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The first set of Democratic primary debates is this week, tomorrow and Thursday nights. The 20 of them who cleared the bar, the Democratic National Committee set to try to bring some kind of order to the process. Order notwithstanding, though, 20 people and the whole idea of knowing who's who and what they stand for is challenging, especially when it comes to, economic policy? Marketplace's Kimberly Adams explains what having so many voices on stage does to our heads.
The Democratic candidates debate.
Ready for the flashy graphics, patriotic music, and lots of zingy one-liners? You might want to also prepare a cheat sheet to keep track of everyone. Or maybe a spreadsheet.
Taking the Miami stage will be Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Bill de Blasio, John Delaney, Tulsi
Yeah,
Gabbard,
lots of candidates. And let's just imagine for a moment that Democratic voters cast their votes based solely on where those candidates stand on actual policy, as opposed to, say, likability or popularity. With 10 people on stage each night for two nights in a row?
It's actually a cognitively extremely difficult task.
Jonathan Levav is a marketing professor who specializes in decision-making at Stanford. Polls show healthcare, immigration, and, of course, the economy are top priorities for primary voters. And those issues are complicated. Levav says sorting through umpteen policy proposals, to say nothing of the tweets and ads and Instagram posts from 25 different candidates, can lead to decision overload.
Everything in economic policy is very, very nuanced. And so then simple messages in that regard are going to be more appealing.
For example, he says, rewind to 2016, when candidates crowded the stage in the Republican primary debate. And which voice stood out?
If I'm president, there won't be stupid deals anymore.
Trump's effectiveness in the last election comes down, at least in part, to the fact that he was speaking directly to the American public in simple terms, and people got it.
John Maynard's a psychology professor at Florida State University. He says when it comes to decision-making, there are decision optimizers who try to get all the details, then make the best choice they can, and decision satisfiers who can tolerate good enough and keep it moving.
And what happens during an election season like this is choice overload can turn decision optimizers into decision satisfiers. People start making more quick and dirty decisions.
Maynard says just because it's a quick decision doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad decision. And it's worth noting here, a lot of decision-making research has focused on how consumers choose among 20 kinds of jam or 30 types of whitening toothpaste.
Democratic primary voters are not picking a candidate the way they might pick, a box of cereal. And primary voters are very sophisticated.
Margie Omero is a longtime Democratic pollster at the firm GBAO. This cycle, she's working with the campaign of Montana Governor Steve Bullock, who didn't qualify for the first debate. Omero acknowledges we've never seen a field this big, but
in a debate of really any size is not necessarily the place where people can see a long, detailed policy proposal.
Candidates have websites for that, and town halls, and lots of other events. Omero says debates are more about voters getting to know a candidate.
They want to see somebody who they feel they can connect with, but they are also looking for somebody who, can understand the issues and has a, policy depth.
But not so deep that voters feel like they're drowning. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.